if you've already had my boy here, there's no need for me to say anything else. As I told him everything he knows. Then in order to keep him humble, I said there's a few things I'll reserve for myself. I guess I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I appreciate the way you've been having church tonight. Appreciate the way your shepherd, your leader, has been handling things. I like that. I like church, don't you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I preached for a preacher boy. I left my church and moved to a high mountain area. I stopped by one time just to give him a lift, just to see what he had going. And he had a couple of little boys. One of them was about 5 years old, I guess. He walked up to me and said, "Brother Ballesteros, what kind of preacher are you?" Well, I usually say a good one, you know. Well, you're either good or bad. So I said, "I'm a good one. I'm in behavior." So he said, "Well, how long do you preach?" I said, "Well, I've got some long ones, and I've got some short ones." He said, "Would you give us a short one tonight?" I was holy cow. That kid will go a long way, boy. 5 years old. I don't know how busy you plan to be tomorrow, but would it be all right if I take my time? God bless you. All right. I'm used to people. It's like, you know, there's some people that can stay alert and alive. I preach for a fella in church with one of my members. Every service, and as I got started and got up and flipped my Bible open, he began to nod. You know, and went to sleep. He had great confidence that I was going to stay on the message. He believed I'd preach it like it is. He went to sleep. We need some help. I have to laugh. I don't know why they call me an old preacher. I don't plan on getting old. I told them a long time ago I'm going to stick around and see what you fellas are going to do with this thing. So we struggled with it half a century or more. So we'll see what we can find here in the days to come. How many believe the Lord's going to have a church? Well, we are not of them that draw back, but we believe in the saving of the soul. Brother Lee Davis, my friend, he announced me one time when I was going to preach for him. He said, "I bring to you a man who suffered for God." Suffered. I guess his heart of compassion was moved when he introduced me. He suffered for God. Made me think of the time I was holding revival in the Gulf area, a city by the name of Texas City. It blew up one time years ago and made the front page. And I was having a protracted meeting there. I noticed I had a man from the Dow Chemical Corporation. He was a pusher on the job. And he, about 65, 64, 65, ready to retire. He was about as thin on top as I am. Kind of meant. And it's time for a baptismal service. We were baptizing a few, and I noticed the preacher, when he got him in the tank, had an old concrete built-in baptismal tank. I noticed where they had positioned him, right in the middle, and it was a short tank. I said, "When they put him under, they're going to bump his head." And so I tried to get somebody's attention, and everybody's so spiritual, they had their eyes closed, you know. I found it safe to get the eyes open the wrong time and shut at the wrong time. But nevertheless, they had him there, and I go, trying to get the man's attention and the preacher's attention, and somebody listened to me. And the preacher was winding up in a big way, thanking God for an obedient heart, somebody trying to follow in the steps of the apostles, amen, and on, he got anointed with it all. And I've measured the man, measured the tank, my mathematical mind is going on, and I'm trying to get somebody's attention. And he said, "All right, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Oh. And they already instructed the man when he come up out of the water, you know, put both hands up in the air and worship God, and he'd come up speaking with other tongues. He'd come up like this. Oh! Jesus. He's trying to. You know, you don't need television as long as we got Pentecost going on. Oh, that's right. If you don't like what we did tonight, come up the next night. We'll do something different. We're on the rough, that's one thing. And finally, when the prayer subsided, the dear old man was still rubbing the egg on his head. And I went up to him, put my arm around him. I like old folks, you know. And I said, Dad, did they hurt you? I noticed where you were standing. I tried to get your attention and they put you under. I knew that sometimes when you push them under, they ride a little bit, and I know I heard it when it hit. I apologize for us not, you know, taking care of you a little better. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I thought that went with it. And everything it takes, I want to go all the way. Church of Ballastown, come on. Yes. Are you Church of Ballastown? Hang on. Used to sing this years ago. Old folks can sing old songs, I guess. So goodbye, old world. I'm through.
Bye.
reading from the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4 of Paul's epistle to the Ephesian church. Beginning with verse 17, down to and including verse 27. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Didn't know you had a spirit up there, did you? And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
You know, there's some people don't know what holiness is.
Right.
Right. You walked in the door that never recognized it.
Right.
Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let me call your attention. Now, I talk. I'm not in a hurry. You know, I just walk. I don't run. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. How can a man be angry and not sin? How many have ever been angry in their life? God, all you? Don't you know how to get a hold of yourself?
Come on.
What kind of church you got here, huh? Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The only way you can justify anger is when you get mad at the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You're justified and get mad at the devil. Not as the devil, but at the devil. And if you see that the enemy has done something against you or yours, you have a right to take your stand and rebuke him. There's times I looked at myself and said, I hate you. I mean, you're not awake. You're not alert. You should have taken this side or this stand. That's right. And so we find there's many times we have to look at ourselves and try to make corrections. If they're shooting that rocket up there, and if it's not moving right, they have on-course correction.
Yeah.
And I don't mind saying I'm not too big where I can't get low enough.
Amen.
To get right.
All right.
Hallelujah. Let me give this a little title for my lesson here tonight. I want to talk on this subject, curfew. You know what a curfew is. Curfew at sundown.
Right.
I'm very interested in everybody's happiness and well-being. I pastored a few years in my life, and I've evangelized a few more. Over 18 years as an evangelist, and all the rest is pastoring the church. I like evangelistic work, I guess, the best. I pray God would raise up evangelists that will be evangelists. And stay evangelists.
Amen.
And bless Pentecost. Some people aren't called. And then again, there's some that are teachers. And I pray for every person, they have to start somewhere. We're glad to encourage all we can. But there's some people that are called to certain ministries. We all believe that. But there's something I read here where it mentions, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So sundown is something for you to consider. God has so arranged it that there is a period of righting wrong. And every day, let's say that you and your friend are husband and wife, are boy and another boy, you had some misunderstanding or difference. It is not right for we who have the Holy Ghost to just walk away and say, well, if he don't like it, let him lump it. That's not right. That's not God. We are children of the living God. What you do, at sundown, you make wrong things right. You don't sleep them off or say, I'll wait till he comes to me. If he don't come to you, you go to him. I'm telling you what the book says. That you say, well, I'm right. Well, you're going to be wrong if you don't keep doing right. And the Lord said, we are of such minds here that now and then we clash. I don't have one bit of trouble with my wife as long as she lets me have my way. She's very easy to live with, honest. And it would be a crime for you to go ahead and in your mind and in your mouth, whatever you would say or your actions, you would hurt someone who would go to bed with a heavy heart. And you're trying to sleep it off. That's not Bible. If you want your home to stay together, take care of the problem before sundown. If you want to keep a friend over there next door down the street, take care of the problem by sundown. God wrote the rule book here, and if we're going over here, we've got to go by the rule. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? You know, a lot of times we feel, well, I don't know. It's beneath me. I feel like I'm in the right. Well, you're going to get in the wrong if you don't do right. You know, it don't take much to say, all right, I'm sorry I got involved. I'm sorry that you misunderstood me, or I spoke too hasty, or too long on the thing, or I just goaded you until you said wrong. We're all creatures of clay, subject to infirmities. And if you don't watch out, you can push somebody over the razor edge, which they're trying to stand and hold a balance. You don't know who'll walk out that door and never come back. That's why you have to say, well, I'm going to be a Christian if nothing else on earth. I'm going to do right. There's no feeling like the feeling you get when you do right. Hallelujah. But you say, I'm right. Well, wait a minute. Let's look at you and God. Who's right and who's wrong? You are God. Well, God's right. And yet he took it upon himself to approach us with a plan of salvation. Come on. He came and talked to our hearts. And he drew you first. And he said, I love you. You were mean-mouthing him. And yet he loved you enough to call it at your heart.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. But what if you said, well, wait a minute. They offended me. They've been taking my name in vain. Oh, wait a minute. Crawl to me. God's not like that. And if you're going to be his children, you do like God does. You'll forgive like he forgave. You'll love like he loves.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
All right, all right. Praise the Lord. Let me mention about the Apostle Paul. You know, one time Paul had his back to the wall, and the high priest was really giving Paul a hard time, and Paul just happened to say something, and the high priest says, smite him on the mouth. Paul said, God will smite you, you whited wall. Well, of course, I like spunk in his place. You know, you got to put a rain on some of these things. God will smite you, you whited wall. Somebody said, don't you know you're talking against God's high priest? Well, he said, brother, I didn't know he was a high priest because it's written you're not supposed to talk bad and revile the high priest of God. Oh, I apologize. Be quick to say I'm wrong. There were friendships that were ever ruined because of three little words. I am sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me or something. And they won't say it. All it takes is, all right, I'm wrong, would you please forgive me? The people say, oh, no, I can't live with them. Well, you ought to try doing it the Bible way. You're hearing the preacher that just don't give you excuses. You just rip the blanket up, you part, and you go this way, and you go another way. There's a lot of things could be saved if you use your head and be saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just giving you a little Bible lesson here at the start. I don't know why I'm taking all this time, but I guess it's all right, you know. You know, I live there, Louisiana. If you don't like rain, don't go there.
Yeah.
Amen. It rains. And right just across the line, is Orange, and I live just out in the country between Orange and Sulphur. Well, sometimes I go do some shopping. Home out, about 45 miles away. And we went to a little town named Vider. Vider had, they had the head of the KKK there. They're mean. I don't believe you can be a saint and belong to any secret lodge. Or...
All right.
No, you can't do that. No, the God can't save people like that.
Right.
Unless they're going to get rid of it all. They had a sign. I mean, no ill by saying this, but they had a sign to black man, don't let the sun set on you here. All right, there's nothing wrong with a black man. There's something wrong with the people that wrote that.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Not God.
Amen.
Everybody is a creature of God.
Yeah.
They had that thing. The sun better not set on people who would have all those warped ideas.
Come on. Amen.
That's yeah. Right.
Amen.
All right. We have to love what God loves.
Yeah.
And we have to hate what God hates.
Yeah.
Now, he loved righteousness. So I've got to love righteousness.
Yeah.
The Bible said he hated iniquity, so I've got to hate iniquity.
Yeah.
I can't love what God hates, I've got to love what he loves, and hate what he hates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So they have that. But sundown is approaching people who have their little old warped, twisted ideas that no room for righteousness is going to be this way or else. They'll burn your house down and burn the cross for plunder. Whip up on you. That's always going to be there. But I want to hear him say one day, well done.
Yeah.
And the only way I can ever hear that is to do well.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. In the book of James, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, I'm just giving you my foundation scriptures. I do this for 30 minutes. James 5, verses 8 and 9. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. How many believe he's coming again? How many believe he's coming right at the door? Oh, I believe that. Now grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I am so sick. I am so disappointed
with so-called apostolics not having enough God to be saved.
Come on.
Oh, that's
all
right.
All right.
It takes more than a
long sleep. Yeah.
And a high neck dress.
Oh, come on.
Right.
Down in the middle of your cap.
Right.
It takes a whole lot more than that just to be a saint.
Yeah.
You've got to do what the Bible said do.
Yeah.
And grudge not. Grudge not one against another. The judge is standing at the door.
Yeah.
And all that simply means you have got to learn how to love and to forgive.
Yes,
this is one of the attributes that God has that he'll let you share with him.
Come on.
For he said, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you.
Amen. That's what he said.
Now, didn't you say?
Sure.
Yes, sir. Now, he said, if you want to be forgiven, James says, if you don't show mercy, you won't receive mercy.
That's right.
And God let put you in a position now and then where you have to say, all right, I forgive you.
Yes.
You
forget all those little rules you're putting in there. I'll forgive you if you just forgive flat out. What if God would hold you down there longer and shove you there and say, all right, sinner, pray. Come on.
Yeah. Here you start praying. He said, forgive me. He said, well, I'll forgive you if.
He don't parade all of our yesterdays ahead of us. And we can see every bit of devilment we ever fell into. He don't hold it over our head like a drawn sword ready to chop us down. Don't you forget what I did for you. Hear me, sinner? Yes.
Well, you stand in terror completely of God. But he just so overwhelms you and forgives you, and you get up with face all aglow. I mean, your heart's skipping a beat.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. He does forgive you completely.
Amen.
Well, I always appreciate my wife's pastor, her uncle, up in Oregon. You can do wrong, but when you made it right, there was no human on earth that tried to make you feel like you still fit in. And shame on a churchman that will dig up somebody's past that's under the blood and hang it over his head. You dirty, you cheap saint. If you don't try to do that and hold somebody down, God in heaven ought to walk on you. You better let a man or woman get up again. So they can put their hands up in the air and worship God and live for God.
You may push somebody over the cliff and they'll never get back.
All right, that's good.
And some of you backsliders,
if you go ahead and entice somebody to live against the teaching of this book or the word of your shepherd, suppose that you.
No, that's not necessary.
Come on
here.
Well,
listen, it don't affect me.
Come on.
Well,
but let me tell you something, neighbor. You don't go to heaven with some little do-it-yourself salvation.
Yeah.
You need a man in your life.
Yeah.
You need a preacher to preach.
Yeah.
You need somebody to pull your coat tail.
Yeah.
Come on. You need somebody to hold you up and help you along. You need somebody to put an arm around you and say, come on, let's walk this road together. I need you, and you need me. Hallelujah.
Right.
You need somebody to walk up and say, you're out of order. This is not the way we do it. We got to go the Bible way.
Right.
You'd be surprised how many people I run into and say, where are you going to church?
Are you a Wilson? You apostolic? No, who's your preacher? Well, we just meet in the house. Oh. They went down to the bookstore and got a book, How to Have Cottage Prayer Meetings. Just cross the preacher and clear off the list. I don't know why they put that. The devils don't want to tie. They don't want anybody saying this is wrong. They want to wear the hair like they wear. They want to wear the dress or the breeches they wear. They don't want a preacher. If you don't want a preacher, you don't want God.
He said, if they don't hear me, they're not going to hear you.
Hallelujah. I'm just making the announcements. I'll get into the message pretty soon. I never saw such a thing.
You're a preacher. Here is Jesus Christ. In heaven, here is Jesus. Now, you know really not, but this is a standing in for him right now. And here's a question. You ought to think of heaven as Jesus being there. And my pastor sits right next to him.
Yes, all right. Amen. Amen.
God so loved me that he gave me somebody to help me.
Yes.
I love that preacher. And after he's gone, your uncle passed away, Jimmy Davis was my pastor. I love that old white-haired man.
Come on. Mean as can be, but I love him.
Yeah. Oh, well, I like him when he preaches his hair down in his eyes. Walk in the church in those days, and you could hear the clarion call, get in, get out, or get on over.
I had a song leader when I built that first church there years ago at Riverside. And that song leader was a good one.
His wife was the cleverest thing in the church. She was a praying lady. I'm fascinated praying.
Yeah.
Son took me up there to the Sears Tower in Chicago a while back, 110 stories. Come up in that elevator. Felt like it was two G's, you know. It's a hotel. And he got up on the lookout place, saw all the little cars. Watching the cars and little ant-like people walking around. And I said, "This is high."
Here and out there hanging on, you know. Looking around, I'm just sure as tall as I've ever been. So, you know,
looking at all that, isn't that something?
Well, it's just wonderful to be able to do all that.
Yeah.
And so I said, I sure like to sing high. The only way I can go is to preach the Bible to people, and we'll all go that high.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in making it. And this dear psalm leader, he's a good one. He sings those songs about going high, you know. He's coming again, and we're going to rise to meet him. And I was thrilled about it. A good psalm leader. And here, I got up quick because I heard some of that pastor preaching.
Get in, get out, get out!
Now everybody shout. That's Pentecostal.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And after a while, I left the church, and I guess the fellow that followed me, he said the same thing. And they took it for a spell.
You have a breaking point, do you?
All right.
Are you wound up just for a couple of years in this thing, and then you've had it?
No.
You intend to go all the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you, if you're carrying a chip on your shoulder, God will send somebody to flip it off.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, if that's what's going to take you to break, you're going to be broken.
Amen.
You may go haywire and never get up again. Or he may touch you here and you'll stay off balance the rest of your day.
Yes. They moved over there to Orange. And the pastor over there got up. Get out, get out, get him over.
That was just something everybody laughed about in church.
And now they were so overly sensitive about it. I don't know why.
And finally said, "Hey, can I hear that one more time? I'm leaving, Jack."
John said an evangelist in there that no more knew them than he knew who made that check.
Yeah.
And so he just got up and said, "Whoa, we have a church here. This is the message. Get in, get out. Get on."
Yeah. Amen.
They picked themselves up, walked out that front door, and 30 years have gone by and they never come back to God.
If you're going to say, "This is what I'm going to do," you're not so high that God can't bring you down.
You may be on that Sears Tower, but God will put you in the gutter. You're not home yet. Hallelujah. I have a scripture I want to read here again in the book of Ephesians, 4th chapter, verses 30 to 32. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We never read any sweeter words in the Bible. All he's saying is be forgiving. I can't help my pedigree. I can't help it because I don't have the intellect of the next man or the riches of this man. I'm what I am by the grace of God.
Yes.
You are what you are by the grace of God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Personally, I'm proud of my culture and my forebears and my name. Mother from England, grandparents that come from Spain. And I'm just happy. but I'm that way. I'm not ashamed of my religion or my nationality or my profession here or my call as a preacher. I didn't ask to be one. I didn't ask. I didn't try out for it. I didn't want to be. Oh, but since I'm here, I've got to mind God. Praise the Lord. And God loves you enough. Of all the people living on the earth, you could be feeding your babies to crocodiles tonight, but God had you here in this state, in this place, where you could hear the unsearchable riches of the kingdom, where you could get the Holy Ghost, and you could be in the bride. I'm not much. I'm just a preacher of the bridal call. And I'm trying to get everybody I can to... Amen, to enter into this bride. That's why I still preach repentance. That's why I preach Jesus' name baptism. And that's why I say you must have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Also in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 17, I believe that's what I want, to 21. Now, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, if you're a sheep, you'll hear this voice. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You say, well, I ask forgiveness, they wouldn't forgive. Well, bless God, you've done your part, don't worry anymore. Go sleep it off. If you've tried and they still won't, you know, like one fellow went to another. So I'll forgive you if God will. I don't think he will. Well, that's no way to forgive people. When they ask for forgiveness, just say, sure, I forgive you. Leave it with them and God. And you've cleaned your heart up. You're ready to go. How many want to be a vessel of righteousness? How many want to be a temple of the Holy Ghost? I want to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, dearly beloved. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let them walk on you. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. All right. And so, and I could go on here, but that'll be enough right now. Let me just talk to you about some of the things I mentioned. I would hate to see you go so far that you can't get back. We had a preacher down in Louisiana in East Texas. He was a tall man. His name was Bohannon. Rabone. In those days, they either had concrete block church buildings or old-fashioned batten board, you know, 1x12s. And after every joint, they put a 1x4 there to cover up the seam. And then they painted the thing real cheap, real inexpensive. Couldn't hardly heat them. Of course, there was no air conditioning in those days. We used to preach down in Louisiana when I was a young preacher. When you got done, literally, you'd bring water out of your socks. You're just hot and humid. Or they had that big 5-foot suck fan, and they'd open the windows behind you in the front door, and they'd just blow it in. And you'd yell, did it? You just take your voice along with it. You'd have a voice after half an hour preacher. You're done for the rest of the revival. So we had church anyhow. Yes. Praise the Lord. And you know, this man, he'd get to proving a point, and he'd walk over to the wall, and he'd knock a plank out of the building. Laugh! Here, plank! There it is. Big plank with his face. Rawbone, raw-hided preacher man. Terrison, I guess he could be short, but he had a problem with his son. His son and him clashed, and his elder now was dying. His boy got in the car and drove off and said, I've had it. And he drove off and said, I will never be back there. Goodbye. And drove all across Louisiana, clear through the 900,000-mile stretch of Texas, went through New Mexico, crossed the border into Arizona, still mad, mumbling, and suddenly God told him, you better go home. Angel sat in the seat and helped him turn the wheel around. And I mean, he'd come on back, filling up with gas, no sleep, driving straight on through. All the time he was gone, his mother was on her knees. She says, Daddy's dying, God. Dad's dying, and if son's not here, he'll curse himself the rest of his life for not making a wrong right. Oh, bring him back, God, however you do it, whatever the cost. And suddenly a car rolled in that driveway, and that boy got out, rushed in the house, and his father got up on one elbow and said, "Son, I want you to forgive me." And the boy says, "No, Daddy, you forgive me." And there was a neck-hugging time, crying till her eyes were red-rimmed. Why? Because they... One of them here laid a pistol on the altar, laying the drugs and other stuff down. That's nothing. They should have been there and made it right with that preacher before he got out of here. They were crying, "Oh, I miss him. I didn't listen to him. I didn't mind him. He chastised me. He counseled me. He tried to help me." Too late now. You better make sure you've done everything you've been required to do. Merely trying to say it's just about sundown. Sundown is a fascinating time to me. Somehow, my heart always is strangely stirred at the set of the sun. How quickly the sun, which is so poised and positioned in the west, above a hillside or maybe an ocean view, those last few minutes and moments, how quickly it seems to set. Beautiful clouds just there, and the sun's rays, many-hued and varied though they are, how beautiful the picture when the master artist dips his pen in all those beautiful colors, reds and purples and gold and light violet and orange and yellow. And all of that as it goes down, somehow it's a time of beauty. It rests very, very deeply on my heart, creature of sentiment though I am. I like that, sundown. Sundown is a time when you think of children being home from school. And now they could play their hopscotch, or they could throw their balls, or they could run and romp and play, and the dog will bark as they run around. I like sundown. I like sundown when Dad comes home swinging his lunch pail and the kiddies run out to meet him, see maybe if he's left a little bit of the cake or something there so they could have it before supper. Sundown is a time when you hear the gentle strum of a guitar or a tinkle of a piano key, where a lovely voice sings a wishful song at sundown. Somehow I think it's the best time of the day. It's a time of quietness when all the family can be together. They're not rushing off to work or to school, but they're home now to eat a meal together. I love sundown. Sundown is when the cows begin to walk single file and head for the barn. They just automatically know it's sundown. They're supposed to do that. It's time for the milking. It's time for the feeding. It's sundown. I hope that maybe you'll get your labors done before sundown. I hope that God will help you get all your chores done. You notice when you come there, it's what you had to do. I find that when sundown is over, every one of us goes to our own place. Some will get ready and rush into the shower and eat their meal and pray, children, let's go, we're going to church. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. I've got to be at church. On the other hand, there's some will drive a few blocks and they'll stop at this bar and over here there's another beer joint. That's, everybody goes to his own place. I don't want to go to everybody's place. I want to go to his place. I want to be around people of like precious faith. I want to be around the family of God. Because one day Pentecost took me to Rays and they put me in the Pentecostal church when I had no home. And I love the saints of God. And I love the man of God. I'm just so glad that as I see the sundown here of our existence, believe me, friend, we're living in a time we don't know what could trigger a world war. Just any day you might pick up the paper and there it'll be. But I'm so glad a sundown finds me with the Holy Ghost, finds me still loving Jesus, finds me with the saints of God and the preachers of God in the house of God. I don't want to be out there when Jesus comes back. I want to be in here. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Let me talk about the other part of my lesson. I mentioned curfew at sundown. You know what curfew is? The police, you know, in the little town at Sulphur there, they'd drive around. And if they caught you as a child out in the street at past 11 o'clock, They either took you home or took you you know where. And this is depending on who you are and how many times they've had to deal with you. You have to clear out of the street at curfew time. You say, well, I'm some funny dad. But, you know, when my children would go out after service, I said, all right, children, don't you forget, it's curfew time. Come on back. That means at curfew time, you don't leave the restaurant. You're home at curfew time. You understand what I'm saying? And I would sit there. We were about 7 miles out of town. And I'd sit there all alone and waiting for the children to come. Why? You say, don't you have... Believe me in God's hands. Don't you have faith? Yes, I do. I live with faith. That's my wife's name, one of them. Content faith. And I have the Holy Ghost and all that. But still, I sit in my chair and I hear suddenly, about 5 minutes till 11, I hear the rattle, or rather the wheels rolling on the gravel. And I wait. I go to the door and unlock it. And suddenly when they come, I automatically up open the door and say, welcome home, children. Glad you're here. Glad you're back. My dad, you should have gone to sleep. Well, I understand all that, but if you don't mind, somehow at curfew time, I want to make sure that all the children are in. I want them all to be home by curfew time. Praise the Lord. Curfew is that restriction which is imposed upon us. It is that responsibility that we must give heed to lest we suffer. The word originated first when they had people imprisoned, and then they had the towers where the guards were at their parapets on the wall. And then they had a no man's land place, anywhere from 50 to 100 yards. Whatever person was found in that no man's land, they were automatically shot without any question. You did not belong there after a certain time. That meant there was somebody breaking out or coming in to help them break out. You shot whoever was seen there. And there was just this given restriction. Don't tell me that it don't pay to have some kind of rules to go by. Yeah. Fences make good men. Yeah. They keep good things in and bad things out. Yeah. And you need some restrictions in the house of God. The Bible says you need to know how to behave yourself in the house of God. You need to know how to behave yourself in your own house. Your children need to know how to behave. They need preaching to. It takes a heap of preaching to make a saint and a heap of preaching to keep you a saint. Hallelujah. And then you need a preacher pulling your pants down. Says, oh, a preacher's good for... Oh, no, they're good for a lot of things. But they're trying to preserve what you have. What you have is, I mean, a whole soul full of loveliness that money can't buy. And he don't want you to get out and sell it to the devil for a few pennies. What you have can't be purchased with silver or gold. Of all the people living on earth, you're the most gifted and blessed, because you have that which kings can't own unless they humble themselves before the mighty hand of God. But it's too hard for them to bow down. I'm glad I was nothing when he found me. I'm glad I was nothing. All I had to give up was a dirty life, a rotten past, which I'm ashamed of to this day. But I'm glad I found him when I did, because it's curfew time. It's curfew time when we see churches forgetting their first love. Just walking off and leaving it sitting there. The Bible didn't say you lost it. It said you left it. Left their first love. Oh, God. I've seen them walk out of churches and never come back again. I've seen them sell out. I find that every generation has to discover truth for itself. We preach until our belly hurts. When I was a young man here in California, some people didn't think, one of them believed this damnable doctrine. Another man said, when God gets done with the devil, you'll be glad to put your arm around him and call him brother. Not me. Another man said, you can't sin. He lied. Right. Another one said, we're going to be so holy that people on the street, all the sinners see us walking down the street, they'll fall down on their knees as we pass by and get the Holy Ghost. I wish it was that easy. Another man said he had a redeemed body.
What do you have to redeem?
You know, I don't know. And here are all kinds of silly doctrines. The compromise. I lived in a time when all kinds of preachers had long hair, long dresses, long sleeves. But suddenly we live in a goofy age.
Yeah. Amen.
I went there with Harvey Davis the other day. Walking around, I'm telling you. Yeah, they got their eyes all painted green. Yeah. They're black around. They got that hairdryer. What kind of haircut is that, Elder? Huh. Rock. Got that lizard-looking eye look. Hog green, you know. How they do? They're weird. I feel the devil being around. I feel unclean.
Amen.
Tom and I were in New York City, Times Square. I said, Tony, I feel dirty. I was preaching at Baton Rouge and all these Pentecostal kids. After service, want to drive down there 5 miles from New Orleans and get on Bourbon Street. Where all that dirt is. Where all that sex is. Where all that perversion is. Where all the prostitutes are. And want to drive up and down. What do you want to drive there for? What in the world's in your heart wants you even to look at it? There are some things in life you better pray God you never get to know. Thing as a blessed ignorance.
Yeah.
And you quit trying to read nasty books. And you quit trying to get as close to that world as you can. Get your mind off the world. Get your heart back in tune with God. It's sundown. It's curfew time. He that is filthy is going to stay filthy still. But if you're righteous, you'll be righteous still. Jesus is going to come. He's going to catch us.
All right.
On the rock or sitting high and dry, think we're all right, but he'll pull it out from under you.
I want to make sure I'm right with God.
Oh, yes. It's curfew time when saints won't listen anymore.
Oh,
first year I was in that Indiana church, I didn't want to go there. I was in the San Diego area, and they told me to come back, but they want you as preachers. I don't care what they want. I don't want to go. And for 4 months I tried. I was up there preaching to Brother Haney's Bible School, running around. Brother Gray said, he sent a preacher the other night. He said, hey, I want you to answer the phones. I don't want to answer the phones. They send telegrams. I won't answer telegrams. I wouldn't go there, and the two biggest churches, they had both of them merged and called me. I don't want to go. I got down to prayer in that little church I had. The Lord said, you're going. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
I don't know very much, but I know when God speaks.
That's right.
Well, go. Honey, pack your bag. And 3 boxes. My 5 children. I said, all right, we'll go. Here's my trailer. Go, Brother Hodges, sell it for me. I'll go home back. And I went over there. I lost 100 the first year. Quite a big church. You ashamed of that? Sure. But when I see people sitting there with bangs and all spangled with ornamentation and don't feel like they need a preacher, don't want anybody correcting them, what'd you do? I preached them a belly hurt. Preach the Bible. You said, well, aren't you saying you lost 100? Yes, I hate to see people walk out like that, but what I see was worth saving.
Yeah.
That's why there's still a church there.
Yeah.
A lot of people just have a number. They haven't got a church. I want God to accept our preaching. We are going to have, we're going to have to answer for you with joy or with grief. I don't want to say, Lord, they wouldn't hear me. They wouldn't listen to me. I want to say, Lord, everything I put out, they said, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. I'll do it. Thank God, whatever it takes. I'm going all the way. One preacher across town, he gobbled up the whole 100.
Praise the Lord.
One man there made $60,000 a year. I mean, that's a lot of money. $60,000 a year. Preachers don't let me know.
I've been so conscientious. I bought a car in Indiana without an air conditioner from the factory. $3,400. Funny. I was so worried what people would say, I hid it in the garage for 3 weeks. You know? But I noticed. I said, what would people think? Well, I finally woke up. They want me to be blessed. God gave me a scripture to prove it to me. In the 45th Psalm, it says, ride prosperously because of truth. I preach truth. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I should ride prosperously. Honda's not prosperous. Chevette's not prosperous. Cadillac is prosperous.
Praise God. You ought to be glad that your preacher's blessed. If God don't bless him, he can't bless anything else here. And if you can get a man that God will ordain to preach truth and bless him, then what he's doing is going to be blessed. Finally, I had
Relations son-in-law. He got a hole in there. He had a way down. And he said, "Brother Bob,
would you please come and pull me a revival?" I said, "What for?" "Well, you know the 100 that lost you and went over to so-and-so's church?" He said, "Oh, left him and put a padlock on the door and sold it." He said, "Do those people?" He said, "No, they all went to my church." He said, "Now they're giving me fits. Would you come and preach to them?" "Well, I come run them off."
People like that,
they
won't listen to
preaching. Right. Man, he had $60,000 a year. He dropped $100 in the whole year for the camp meeting. He didn't believe in helping out the church. His other relative, he only made $20,000.
Well, that's the rest of it. We're glad to make $80,000 a week.
I didn't make that much. And here they were out there. All kinds of money, chickens. I went out to the farm.
There were just two girls. The boy was a young people leader and assistant. There. And I went out to the farm.
They had these breeches on.
I wish that people could see how stupid they were.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, here they were. I said, "What are you doing dressing like that?" "Well," I said, "we're working with the chickens." "I said, well, out here on the farm, nobody here but you and God?" "Well, but we have to kneel down and do this or that. And it's very godly." I said, "God said in his sight it's an abomination." "Amen." "So, well, we don't wear it downtown." I said, "The Bible didn't say downtown." "Because can God see out here? It's in his sight out here, isn't it?" Well, they felt bad. Well, just people. Some people don't want to learn anything.
That's right.
They want to write the rule book for themselves.
Yeah.
You need to forget everything you ever learned when you come to church and start all over.
It would be better if we got some primitive person from Australia wilderness, brought them out of the desert, and set them here that have never heard the gospel. That'd make a saint quicker than you would have.
Come on.
If we got to preach all this other theology and religion out of you and get you on the Bible standard.
Sundown is here.
And there's some folks in church and some folks not in church.
All right.
Backsliders.
Yes.
Wasting every precious moment. Ready to go to hell in a hurry. And it's curfew time. You hear what I'm saying? All right, I'm through. Curfew time. You got church jumpers. You got people that won't pray, won't pay tithes, won't live for God, mean mouth of preacher. All they have wicked. They got boys and grown men. All they have is adultery in their eyes and in their mind.
Come on.
All I have is
words. They know every
ball player there is in the nation. They know his batting average or how good he can pass a football. You can't get up to memorize Acts 2:38, right? I don't know where your heart is, but if you're going up in the first resurrection, you better get a Holy Ghost renewal. Because the sun is going to set, and when it does, it's going to be curfew time. When that shining angel puts one foot on the land and the other one on the sea and raises a hand up to God and says, time shall be no longer. It'll be too bad, sinner. It'll be too bad, backslider. If you're here backslidden in your heart, you better get right, get right, get right with God. My Father, we bow our heads at this time. I've done what little I could, trying to tell the old, old story. I thank you, God, because you're wonderful. I'm thankful because you've given us time to come this far. I want to thank you for good preachers that preached truth to me, for saints that cared, for a church family that was interested. Oh, we love the family of God for what they made meant to each of us. I thank you for the privilege to be here with this noble preacher and his wife and this church, the saints that you've given him. Oh, God, you've blessed them, each one. I pray that you'll be close to them. Give them the revival they're seeking for. Give them, I pray, that new church building and fill it up. Thank God for a standard in the day here when there's not one everywhere, when people are rethinking their convictions, where people are trying to walk the fence and trying to look for an easy way out. Thank God for old-time Pentecost. Keep the fires burning here, Lord, I pray. I pray for every mother's boy or girl that's out of step and out of tune with reality. I pray for moms and dads who need to get right not only with you but with one another. I'm asking for revival in our hearts. Visit us, I pray, with a precious move of your Spirit before it's too late. In Jesus' name, shall we stand? I don't know who's here or what you need, but if there's anyone that needs God, we'd love to have time to pray with you. I've just been walking along slow tonight, touching a few things as I went by. But God loved you enough to tell you what you need. Preachers don't tell. I never had a preacher sit down and say, you preach on this and you preach on that. I'll just tell them to go fly a kite if they talk to me like that. We always give a preacher his liberty. Just preach what he feels like. God knows how to find you. I wouldn't want to see one of you lost. If there's anyone that has any kind of a shortcoming, straighten it up with God. Let's do right. If you're lost, don't have the Holy Ghost, this is the night to get it. If you need special attention or prayer, you have a shepherd who cares. Anyone, anywhere, would you just step out and stand here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you right? Oh, are you right? Are you right? Let's get right. Pretty soon the last curtain is going to ring upon all the acts of men. It's going to be curfew time forever when God sets up His great white throne and judges every nation and every heart and everyone. Oh, where will you be? Where will you be on that great day? Where will you be, friend? Oh, God, spare tonight. Deal with us. Shake us. Help us to make any correction in course that we need to make. Save us, I pray, even from ourselves. But save us that we might be a credit to your cause. We want to be ready, Lord, when you come again. In Jesus' name, your pastor.
Praise.
Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
In its altar tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Oh,
Yeah.